From the verses we just read, we learned that God had called Abraham, and I'm going to use the term Abraham this morning. Really, his name at this point was Abram. Later on, the Lord changed it to Abraham, but if I try to use Abram, I'll miss it, so I just know him as Abraham. The Lord God called Abraham to leave the Ur of the Chaldees, and then later on to leave Haran, to go to a land that he would show Abraham. And he had a promise for Abraham. In this land that I will show you, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. So we read that the Lord God led Abraham and his family from Haran southward and westward into the land of Canaan, and they came to Shechem. And there, according to the verse we have before us, the Lord appeared unto Abraham. We don't know what form that was, but there was something Abraham could see. And when the Lord spoke, Abraham could hear. This is a theophany. Revelation of God. Really, an Old Testament picture looking ahead to Christ. The Lord had done this before, evidently, when he told Haran to move. But now in Abraham, now in Canaan, the Lord appears to him again. Notice we have the term Lord, all in capital letters. That means in the original you have the name Jehovah. That's God's covenant name. Jehovah God had something important to tell Abraham, something important concerning his covenant. He had a promise for Abraham, a covenant promise. And the promise was this: Abraham, unto thy seed will I give this land, the land of Canaan. In response, Abraham built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Now you might ask, what does that have to do with us today? And certainly, what does that have to do with baptism? Because this is a baptism sermon. It has this. You and I, who are believers in Jesus Christ, are the seed of Abraham, to whom this promise was made. We are the seed of Abraham not because we are the physical descendants of Abraham. I doubt very few of us are. We are the seed of Abraham because we are believers and have the same faith as Abraham. And therefore, the promise that God gave here to Abraham's seed concerning Canaan is God's promise to us. No, we're not talking now about the earthly Canaan. That earthly Canaan has long ago lost its significance. We're talking about the promise of the heavenly Canaan, of which the earthly Canaan was only a picture. And now here is how this passage is going to tie into baptism. This promise of Canaan is also God's promise to our children. Within God's covenant are not only adult believers, but also their children. And God promises also the children of believers to give them the heavenly land of Canaan. Because of that fact, we also baptize our children as we did this morning. And in response, what must we do? We must build an altar unto the Lord, as did Abraham. No, not an earthly altar of stone and dirt, but a spiritual one upon which we worship the Lord our God with our children. I call your attention to the promise of Canaan. That's the main thought of this passage, the promise of Canaan. Notice with me just two things, a covenant promise and a covenant response. The covenant promise mentioned here was addressed to Abraham. Unto thy seed will I give this land. Notice earlier, well, let me say this, the promise concerns Abraham's seed. Earlier, we read it in verse 2 of this chapter, God came to Abraham and said, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. I will make of thee a great nation. Later on in his life, even before he had any children, the Lord would take Abraham out under the sky and ask him to count the stars, which he couldn't, and the Lord assured him, that's how many your seed will be and your children, a great nation. Now this great nation is identified in the verse before us as Abraham's seed. And the promise of Jehovah God to Abraham was that one day the Lord would give the land of Canaan to his seed. Notice, the promise was not to give that land to Abraham. The promise was to give that land to his seed. Later on in his life, we read of it in Genesis 15, when the Lord told Abraham to cut apart a number of animals and the Lord passed through. At that point, the Lord told Abraham that his seed would be in bondage for many years and only after that receive the land. And that's exactly what happened. You remember? It was Abraham's grandson, Jacob, with his family that left Canaan with God's permission and Joseph's invitation, and went down to Egypt. There they multiplied. There they became slaves. They were there for 400 years. Only after that were they led out by Moses and brought into the land of Canaan under Joshua. And the Lord gave them the land at that time. They had a fight, but the victory was the Lord's, and they received houses that they didn't build, crops that they didn't plant. The Lord literally gave them the land of Canaan 430 years after this revelation. And that gift of the land of Canaan to Abraham's seed was a gift of God's covenant. Going back to Genesis 15, where the Lord passed through the animals that Abraham had split and cut in pieces and laid apart from each other, we read at that time, Genesis 15, verse 18, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. This land was a gift of God's covenant. And because it was a gift of the covenant, it was in this land of Canaan that Jehovah lived with them as their covenant friend and blessed them and provided for all their needs. Now we must understand that this earthly Canaan, into which Abraham had just entered, promised to his seed, received by them 400 years later, was only a picture of a better and a heavenly Canaan. The Old Testament is filled with many types, if you will, pictures that looked ahead to greater spiritual realities to come. And Canaan, the earthly land, was one such picture. It looked ahead to a heavenly land, the heavenly Canaan. Was Abraham aware of that? Oh, yes, he was. We read of that in Hebrews chapter 11, which speaks of the great faith of the Old Testament saints. There we read, for example, verses 9 and 10. By faith he, Abraham, sojourned in the land of promise, that was Canaan, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, that's his son and his grandson. He lived to see them. He dwelt in tents with them, heirs with him of the same promise. Why? For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Throughout the land of Canaan, there were all kinds of cities which had foundations, whose builder and maker were men. But Abraham was content to dwell in that land and live in tents because he had his eye to another land and to a city with permanent foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In that same chapter, we read this, verse 16. They desired, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob desired a better country, that is, a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. They knew. Abraham knew. And it was this heavenly Canaan that the Lord ultimately promised here to Abraham's seed and to Abraham himself. This heavenly Canaan is also promised to us and our seed. To understand that, we must first be clear, who is Abraham's seed? Who are Abraham's seed? From the rest of Scripture, it's obvious that the seed of Abraham here are not a physical seed, but a spiritual seed. The Bible is clear. The seed of Abraham is the total number of God's elect, whom he has ordained to eternal life and whom he brings to faith in Jesus Christ. To put it differently, the seed of Abraham are all those who have the faith of Abraham, no matter when they live, no matter where they live. You have the faith of Abraham, you are his seed. The Bible is very clear on that. Genesis 3, verse 16, points out, then Genesis Galatians 3, verse 16, points out that the great seed of Abraham is Christ. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, not plural, but as of one, singular, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Christ is the great seed of Abraham. And then the chapter goes on and concludes this way, verse 29. And if ye belong to Christ, if you belong to Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Do you belong to Christ? You belong to him by faith. Then you are Abraham's seed. And you belong to the great nation that God promised to make of Abraham. And you are heirs of all the promises made to Abraham. Where do you find this spiritual seed? Well, in the Old Testament, they were limited almost exclusively to the natural seed of Abraham. Isaac, Jacob, and out of Jacob came the nation of Israel. In the Old Testament, the seed of Abraham was limited almost exclusively to those physical descendants. But with the coming of Christ, you will find the seed of Abraham among the nations, far and wide, and there are no natural ethnic boundaries. You believe in Christ? Do you belong to Christ by faith? You are Abraham's seed, a member of this mighty, wonderful nation. And unto this seed, Jehovah promises to give the heavenly land of Canaan. In the Old Testament, when it came to the earthly Canaan, which was only the picture, God gave the seed of Abraham that land. He did that through two mighty men whom he raised up. He sent them Moses into Egypt in their bondage. And the Lord delivered them out of bondage through the hand of Moses with 10 terrible plagues, with one miracle after another, then led them through the terrible wilderness, preserved them through Moses, and then he brought them into the land of Canaan under the leadership of Joshua. Now, those men were sufficient in the hand of God to bring the seed of Abraham out of physical bondage into the earthly Canaan. But they are not sufficient to bring the seed of Abraham out of the spiritual bondage of sin into the heavenly Canaan. To do that, God must raise up one greater than Moses, one greater than Joshua. He sent his only begotten Son into our flesh, born of Abraham. According to his human nature, he was a physical descendant of Abraham. But he is Jesus Christ, the mediator. You see, entrance into the land, the heavenly land of Canaan, requires the washing away of sin. Even as Israel was in slavery to Egypt, all of us are by nature in bondage to sin, and we are unfit to dwell with God in the whole heavenly land of Canaan. To inherit the heavenly Canaan, there must be a spiritual washing, a way of sins. A washing, by the way, depicted by the fact that Israel was led through the Red Sea and then again passed through the Jordan River. And they got washed when they did that. But that didn't wash away their sins. The only thing that will wash away the sin of the seed of Abraham is the blood of atonement, a sacrifice that will forever pay the price of sin. That spiritual washing by payment of sin is accomplished only by Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a bloody sacrifice on the cross for all of Abraham's seed. And as the seed of Abraham, we have the promise in Jesus Christ, I will give you the land of Canaan. It is yours as my covenant gift. And not only yours as believers, but I will also give it to your children. That's amazing. I will give it to your children as well. again later on, chapter 17 of Genesis. This is later on in Abraham's life. This is when the Lord changed the name from Abram to Abraham. The Lord more fully revealed his covenant with Abraham and said, verse 7, I will establish, Abraham, my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations, to be an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Well, that was a reality in the Old Testament, and it's a reality even to this day among the spiritual seed of Abraham. God gives to elect believers, elect children, whom God has ordained for the heavenly Canaan. Is that true of all our children? No. Wasn't true of all of Abraham's children either, was it? It was true of Isaac, but not Ishmael. True of Jacob, but not Esau. Nevertheless, God sees fit to give to us as believing parents the spiritual seed of Abraham, his children, destined for the heavenly Canaan. And he will also, by his grace and spirit, lead them to faith, and by faith bring them to Jesus Christ, so that they, with us, their parents, can find the washing away of sin, which is necessary to enter into the heavenly Canaan. And God even requires, because of that reality, for the children of believers to receive the sign of the washing away of sins, which becomes a sign of the covenant. In the Old Testament, it was circumcision. Now that has been replaced with baptism. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? What an amazing promise we have as believing parents. I will give your children the land of Canaan. Don't figure on going there alone without your children. You're going to go there with your children. You and I will take nothing to heaven of this earth, but we will take with us our children. In response to this covenant promise, Abraham built an altar to the Lord who appeared unto him. Let's first of all understand what Abraham did. He built an altar. Took stones, rocks, dirt, and he built an altar. But he did more than that. He also offered a bloody sacrifice on that altar. That's suggested by the very term used here. The word altar means a place of slaughter. So he built an altar, he slaughtered an animal, and he offered as a bloody sacrifice an animal to the Lord. Now, if we go down to the next verse, verse 8, we find that when Abraham moved further east, and he again built an altar unto the Lord, and there we read, and called upon the name of the Lord. Well, that's what he did here also in Shechem. He just didn't build an altar and offer a sacrifice of slaughter. He called upon the name of Jehovah. That's an expression you'll find often in the Old Testament, especially in the days of the patriarchs, and it means he worshiped Jehovah. Mention is made here of the name of Jehovah. The name of Jehovah really is God as He reveals Himself to be Jehovah, the faithful covenant God. I'm not going to go into all the details how we get that from the term name, but that's what it means. The name of Jehovah is Jehovah as He reveals Himself to be Jehovah, the faithful covenant God. And Jehovah had just shown Himself to be the faithful covenant God, hadn't He? He had approached Abraham way back in the Ur of the Chaldees, then in Haran, with a promise. A command and a promise. Leave, go to a land I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. And now, in keeping with His covenant with Abraham, He says, Abraham, this is the land I'm going to give to your seed. He had just shown Himself again to be the faithful covenant God. And now Abraham responds by calling upon Jehovah in worship. That worship consisted of two parts. First of all, he called out to Jehovah. Let's not forget the name call upon. He called out to Jehovah, praising Him and thanking Him for His covenant promises. The Scriptures connect calling upon the name of the Lord with giving thanks to God. For example, Psalm 105, verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name. The Lord had just given a most glorious promise to Abraham. So now He calls out in worship and thanks Abraham, thanks the Lord and praises Him for this wonderful promise. But, secondly, this worship consisted also of seeking the grace of Jehovah God to walk faithfully in the covenant. The word call here, to call upon the name of the Lord, means to call out, and it has a sense of urgency to it that's inherent in the word. You see, the promises that God gave to Abraham at this time, these covenant promises, would only come to pass in the way of faithfulness to the covenant. When God gives His promises to His people, no, those promises aren't conditioned, are they? First do this, first do that, then I'll do this. Nevertheless, those promises are realized as God's people walk a certain way in the covenant and are faithful. And of course, that's something that the Lord leads them in. But that's a reality. These covenant promises given to Abraham were not going to be realized in the way of Abraham's unfaithfulness, but only in the way of his faithfulness to the covenant. What was that faithfulness? Well, first of all, believing the promise of God. These promises of God, if you put yourself in Abraham's position at this time, these promises of the Lord defied belief. Abraham, 75 years old. The Lord promises to make of him a great nation. He doesn't have one child, and he wouldn't for quite some time. The Lord says, Abraham, I'm going to give your seed this nation. We read in the previous verse that Canaanite was in the land. It defied belief, the Lord's promises. Faithfulness on Abraham's part required that he believe, in spite of all that looked contrary, he would believe and trust the Lord's word. There was more. Faithfulness required that he live as a friend servant of Jehovah in all obedience. After all, the covenant God made with Abraham was a covenant of friendship. The Lord had appeared to him as a friend, And Abraham was to walk before the Lord as a friend, not an equal, but a servant, being faithful to the Lord, serving Him in righteousness. And that way alone would the covenant promise of the Lord be accomplished. And when the seed did come, the nation started to develop. Abraham must instruct his children, his grandchildren, concerning all these things, and show them in word and by example what it means to be faithful to the covenant. How else were his children to know about these things? And they continue faithfully. For the grace to do this, Abraham called out in worship. And this worship wasn't just something he did here at this place. These altars were built wherever he went. And he called upon the name of the Lord continually. And when the Lord gave him children and grandchildren, he did that with them. And that became the occasion also for him to instruct his children and his children's children in these things. And notice, the calling upon the name of the Lord was done in connection with the altar. God's covenant promises of Canaan and blessing forever in Canaan are inseparably connected to the atonement that was pictured at the altar. The bloody sacrifices, the place of slaughter, that itself did not open the doors to Canaan, did it? It only pointed ahead to a greater atonement by the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ. On the basis of the atonement, the payment, the sacrifice pictured in that altar, only on that basis could the promise be realized. In fact, when that atonement and that sacrifice would be made once for all, it would guarantee Canaan for all of Abraham's seed. And so Abraham called upon the name of the Lord in connection only with the altar, clinging to the coming blood of atonement. And that's what we must do. Call upon the name of the Lord in connection with the altar. Now, worship is no longer connected today with the bloody sacrifice on a place of slaughter, is it? That belongs to the Old Testament. That only looked ahead to a greater sacrifice to come, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. When that sacrifice was made, the bloody sacrifices were gone for the church. In the place of the altar, the Lord has said, "Now I ordain the preaching of the word and the sacraments." That's how I will declare the perfect sacrifice accomplished for sin, the preaching and the sacraments. In connection with the preaching and the sacraments that bring us the cross, we are to call upon the name of the Lord. And when we do that, we are first of all to thank the Lord for the promise of Canaan, sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. A promise that doesn't come just to us as believing adults, but also to the children that God will give to us. We must do that. We must do that in our home here, in the church here. when the word is preached and the sacraments administered and Christ is set before us as the only way into Canaan, we are to thank the Lord and praise Him. And you bring your children here to do that with you. And then you do that at home too. As you open the Word of God and you read the Gospel and you learn with your children more and more of the cross that opens the way to Canaan, you praise and thank Him. And you thank Him for including your children in this. And you teach your children to do the same. But also we are to call upon the name of the Lord by calling out for the help of His grace to be faithful servants of God's covenant. Also today, faith, faithfulness, includes living in hope of the heavenly Canaan. Not your eyes just fixed here on earthly kingdoms and earthly prosperity. No, beyond, looking to the heavenly Canaan. That's faithfulness. Where's your hope? Where's your focus? Don't focus here. Focus on the heavenly Canaan. That's faithfulness. Faithfulness means that you cling to Christ and His perfect sacrifice with all your heart as the only way into Canaan. Faithfulness means that in Jesus Christ, in the power of His death and resurrection, you live as an obedient friend servant of the Lord, not serving yourself, not loving yourself or the things of this world or the sins of this world, but you love the Lord your God, and in love you serve Him and are obedient to Him every day of your life. And for us adults, faithfulness to the covenant means you train your children. You teach them by word and example about the covenant and the way of the covenant and the salvation of the covenant. Oh, to do that, we have to call upon the name of the Lord daily for His grace. That's the only way we can do it. That's the only way to be faithful. We must gather here in the Lord's house every Lord's Day to do that. We must do that every day in our homes. And we must include our children in that. And a great blessing will come to us as we call upon the name of the Lord in thankfulness and praise, bringing our needs and our requests for God's grace to be faithful. We will find the grace to be faithful. And we will find the zeal to train our children. And our children's hearts will be opened by the Lord to Him, to Jesus Christ, and the beautiful promise to our children, I will give them the land of Canaan, will become a reality before our very eyes, and we will see our children blossom as true children of God's covenant. May God lead us in that good way. Amen. Father in heaven, thanks for Thy word. Thanks for the promise to us and our children. Lead us, O God, with thankful hearts to faithfulness, and with our children to call upon Thy name in worship, to praise, to thank, and to receive Thy grace. For Jesus' sake, amen.